From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, God Can Make You Strong. The text is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 7. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. God had done great things for King Asa and Judah, but yet they were a feeble folk. Their feet were very tottering in the ways of the Lord, and their hearts very hesitating, so that they had to be warned that the Lord would be with them while they were with him, but that if they forsook him, he would leave them. They were also reminded of the sister kingdom, how ill it fared in its rebellion, and how the Lord was gracious to it when repentance was shown. The Lord's design was to confirm them in his way and make them strong in righteousness. So ought it to be with us. God deserves to be served with all the energy of which we are capable. If the service of God is worth anything, it is worth everything. We shall find our best reward in the Lord's work if we do it with determined diligence. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord, and we know it. Half-hearted work will bring no reward. But when we throw our whole soul into the cause, we shall see prosperity. This text was sent to the author of these notes in a day of terrible storm, and it suggested to him to put on all steam with the assurance of reaching port in safety with a glorious freight.
Uncertain, though the path we travel be unknown, our God has given an assurance. We can have peace, we can have joy, we can be strong. Secure within his hands, he is our joy, our hope of life eternal. He is the rock, the solid rock on which we stand. Even when I cannot see tomorrow, His word is like up unto my feet. And when the laughter turns to song, find His grace when we are weak. He is our strength. He is our fortress. We can be sure we are secure within His hands. He is our joy. We stand, and when the storms of life surround me, and when the winds of sorrow blow, I will hold on to the rock of ages, for I know this one thing.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Romans as he brings the opening portion of a message called Trophies of Grace and Testimonies to the Success of the Gospel. The text is Romans chapter 1, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ancient Rome was a city given over to pleasure and vice, and yet even prior to Paul's visit, there was a thriving church there. As Dr. Cairns will demonstrate, the gospel is a glorious, powerful message, able to rescue sinners from the deepest darkness and depraved conditions. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, Trophies of Grace and Testimonies to the Success of the Gospel.
Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Tonight we come to deal with verse 7, which is the end of the salutation. Then from verse 8 through 15, we have the introductory passage, and then the statement of theme, and then he develops it right throughout the rest of the epistle. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that many of you have taken up the challenge, at least to memorize these opening verses of the book of Romans. We have read this passage now, six or seven times. This is probably the eighth time we have read it together. So I hope that that has allowed it to percolate and that you've given a lot of thought to it. Keep on trying to memorize through these opening verses of Romans. You may not be able to memorize the whole book, as Martin Luther exhorted people to do, but you will be able to memorize parts. And let me tell you, the more you memorize of the great parts of this book, the more help they will be in many times of crisis in life. They'll get your thinking straight. They'll get your heart right. They'll give you great solidity in your life. Samuel Taylor Coleridge, I quoted earlier in these studies, said that this was the profoundest piece of writing in existence. A great literary scholar and critic himself, the greatest or the most profound piece of writing in existence. I think he was right, and I certainly trust that you'll memorize parts of it. We come tonight to verse 7 of chapter 1. To all that be in Rome. Link this up with verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome. Beloved of God. Called to be saints. Grace to you. And peace from God our Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the salutation and the introduction, that is the first 15 verses, Paul is taking one step after another toward the great statement of verses 16 and 17, in which he sets forth the theme of the entire epistle. Now, we have seen already in these studies that that theme is that the good news that God has provided a perfect righteousness for the salvation of guilty sinners who believe in Jesus Christ is a glorious and a powerful message for the entire world. That's the thesis that Paul is defending and elaborating upon right throughout this epistle. In these opening verses, he has shown us that this gospel of the imputed righteousness of Christ is, verse 1, the gospel of God. Verse 2, it is the gospel of the whole Bible, from Genesis through the Old Testament and Matthew right through the New Testament. There is no other gospel than this one. Verses 3 and 4, he shows us that it is this gospel that supplies us with the only true understanding of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 5 and 6, he shows it is the gospel that is fitted for the whole world, nations of every kind. And now in verse 7, he comes down to a very personal level. This is Paul, the apostle, the servant, the preacher, the pastor, and he is writing to the saints of God in the city of Rome. Many of them, well, at least a few of them, he has known from former experiences in other places, and they have drifted toward Rome. Many others he has never met, he knows nothing of except by reputation. But he knows enough to be able to address them personally and say to them in effect, in verse 7, this gospel that I'm preaching to you is no mere religious theory. It is not something that you accept merely upon authority. It is not something that you accept merely by report from other people. You are not dependent on what you read of the triumphs of the gospel in other places or in other people. This is not just theory. It is not even just theology. It is not just history. He's saying, you have proved this gospel for yourselves. This gospel has transformed your own lives, and it continues to transform your lives. You know personally that this is a glorious and a powerful message suited for the whole world, because this gospel has made you trophies of grace and testimonies to the success of the gospel. Trophies of grace and testimonies to the success of the gospel. That is the force of verse 7 as you fit it into Paul's great scheme of things as he's working up toward his statement of theme. In other words, he's saying, your own testimony proves some very fundamental truths about the gospel. And I want to take four of them tonight. It proves, first of all, that the gospel succeeds, no matter how depraved the society that it penetrates. Notice the words. He's writing to all the beloved in Rome, and emphasize in Rome. Now, Rome was the imperial capital. In a nutshell, the Roman history is it started out as a little city, then a city-state, then it became a republic. It made most of its great conquests while it was a republic, and after that it became an empire ruled over by the imperial Caesars. Rome was the capital of the empire. In a sense, it was true in the ancient world that all roads led to Rome. Rome was the place of ultimate political power. It was the place of unrivaled opportunity. Rome was a bustling city, a city of many nationalities, many religions, and many different classes and kinds of people. In this city, business abounded, especially the business of politics and the business of the military. But business abounded. their pleasure abounded. The Romans had pleasure down to a fine art. Probably it is true to say that the empire finally choked on its own pleasures and choked itself to death. I remember when we were studying Latin and Roman culture, we were rather revolted to find out how the Romans worshipped pleasure and how they worshipped their belly. They loved to eat and they loved to drink. They would have their great feasts. They would lie down by their tables, reclining, eating and drinking. They would eat and drink till they could eat and drink no more. And then they would turn around and make themselves sick so as to empty their stomach of its contents, just so they could start eating and drinking all over again. And even to young Irish people, that sounded rather sick. So it would be true to say, that was only the tip of the iceberg, by the way, it would be true to say that this was a people who ultimately choked themselves to death upon their own pleasures. Vice abounded on every hand. Edward Gibbon, famous for his Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, characterized the Caesars of this period in which the epistle to the Romans was written and this church took root. He characterized the Caesars of that period as engaged in the pursuit of pleasure or in the exercise of tyranny. And those same pursuits, pleasure and power, were evident at every level of society. One English writer of the last century, I forget, we have moved on a century. Two centuries ago, shows you how old we are. He spoke of the idolatrous obscenities of Rome, heathen Rome. Those idolatrous obscenities of heathen Rome set the city of the Caesars at open warfare with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was no place on earth where the gospel could expect hotter opposition than imperial Rome. And yet in Rome itself, the gospel had powerful success. Secular sources would lead us to believe that probably by this early period, the gospel had even penetrated to the highest levels of Roman society, so that some of the aristocracy had already come under the power of the gospel. Now, we don't know how this church was formed. We don't know exactly when it was formed, though it must have been at least 20 years before this epistle was written. Personally, I tend to the belief that it was quite a bit earlier than that. At any rate, we don't know how or when or even by whom. The Roman Catholic notion, espoused by many Lutherans and by many Episcopalians, that somehow Peter had a big hand in the founding of this church, is totally at variance with the New Testament. It was not founded by Peter. It is not a church that was founded by Paul. Obviously, Paul had never been to Rome when he wrote this epistle, and yet the church was already thriving in that place. It was not founded by Paul. We find in Acts chapter 2 that there were various people present at the day of Pentecost. Some of them were Jewish proselytes and Jewish inhabitants of Rome. There was quite a Jewish population in Rome in those early times. So much so, indeed, that Claudius, the emperor, just a few years before Paul wrote this epistle, threw all the Jews out of Rome for a time. It was a big population of them. Could well be that some of those Jews and proselytes converted on the day of Pentecost took the gospel back to Rome. Again, we find that there was a great scattering from Jerusalem of all but the apostles following the persecution upon the death of Stephen. Quite possible, again, that many of those ultimately made their way to Rome. We don't know exactly how, when, and by whom this church was founded, but we do know some things about it. It was a church that was made up of Gentiles and Jews, but this epistle would make it clear that the Gentiles were in the majority.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.